Let's pray together. Lord, what an exciting and perplexing and frightening time that early day of the resurrection must have been. Last week we focused on the morning events, and today's scripture focuses on the evening events when Jesus reunites with his disciples, most of them. And Lord, we just are in awe of the powers the resurrected Christ had, the message that he offers to all of us even today. And Lord, we pray that through your scripture and through your spirit, our hearts and minds may be opened to receive a message from you that will help us in our faithful daily living. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. What frightens you? What or whom do you fear? Sometimes our fears paralyze us. Several years ago, Time magazine reported the sad story of a man who died of fear. He had taken a number of fur trapping expeditions over the years and had been bitten by his share of ticks. When he learned about Lyme disease, that it was carried by deer ticks, he became obsessed with the fear that he had been bitten in the past by a tick with the disease, and that he had passed that disease on to his wife. Doctors tested him and assured him that he did not have Lyme disease, and that even if he did, the disease was virtually impossible to transmit to his wife. But the man did not believe the doctors. Paranoid because of the fear of having the disease, the man eventually killed his wife and himself. The police found the man's mailbox jammed with material describing Lyme disease and a slip confirming a doctor's appointment for yet another Lyme disease test. Fear distorts a sense of reality. Fear can consume a person's energy and thoughts. Fear can control us. Our fears generate a lot of business today, whether it's fear of the darkness or modes of travel, aging, you name it. Whatever fear you may have felt or are feeling now, and perhaps it's even death. All of these fears, there are alternative solutions out there that can be secured at almost any price. When we stop and think about it, security systems are big business in our culture. Although many Americans grew up in an age when the back door was never locked, deadbolts, chains, alarms, and guard dogs are the rule rather than the exception today. Barricaded doors are an outward sign of our inward fears. Today's scripture lesson begins with an incident involving a locked door. The disciples were in an upper room and had the door locked for fear of the Jews. And their fears were understandable. Jesus had died. They could be next. Whatever Jesus had done, they had done also. They were afraid of guilt by association. They could die just as easily as Jesus had. The fear of the disciples was tangible. They knew firsthand what to expect if they were to be captured. They heard the sounds of death, the cries of the women from Golgotha, the defiance of the angry mob, and the instability of the political leadership. If the Roman authorities did not kill them, then the religious leaders would certainly have their way, they must have thought. Either way, the disciples feared their own death. And that fear was real. So they locked the door to avoid persecution from former friends. And surely they were anxious when the women returned from the empty tomb, saying that Jesus had risen from the dead. Was it true? If it is, what did it mean? And what would happen next? Jesus miraculously comes to them in their doubts and in their fears, walking through a closed door. He knows their fears and offers them consolation when he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus shows them his hands and his side, perhaps to prove his identity and the reality of his crucifixion. And again, he offers consolation to them, trying to ease their spirits. But another kind of fear appears in today's scripture, although cloaked as skepticism and doubt. Thomas, whose very name has come to suggest doubt, also exhibits fear. Thomas's fear, however, appears far less noble to us than the fear of the disciples. Thomas, who was not with the disciples when they first encountered the risen Jesus, did not believe their report. His skepticism took precedence, and he countered, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my fingers in that mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, Thomas and the other disciples are still hiding, and again Jesus comes to them, and Jesus offers them consolation with the same greeting, "Peace be with you." And Thomas again expresses his doubt. And Jesus, again, this time to Thomas, shows his hands and his side, and Thomas finally accepts the risen Lord and believes. We read about the fear of the disciples, and we have sympathy. We read about Thomas's skepticism, and we often become judgmental. But what if Thomas and the disciples were truly afraid? The disciples feared the known. They could be assured that they would be killed. And Thomas feared the unknown. How could he believe when he had not seen? Whether we'd like to admit it or not, fear resides in all of us. We can be fearful of the known if we find ourselves in a raft with no paddle and about to drop into whitewater rapids. We have every right to be fearful. If we are face to face with an angry bull in a pen with no protective gear and are wearing red clothing, we have every right to be afraid. Fear comes from knowing the dangers and the risks that are inherent in the events that we participate in. The fear of the disciples can be understood. We can understand why they want to stay locked up in a house for fear of their own death. They had followed Jesus. They were identified with him. People knew their names. They knew what they looked like. Crowds had watched them assist Jesus feed 5,000, heal the sick, bring food to Jesus, to secure transportation for him. The names of the disciples were known by the crowds and could easily be secured by the religious leaders. The disciples were afraid of what they knew. And even though at first glance Thomas appears cocky and self-reliant, the internal emotion is fear. We call it skepticism, or perhaps lack of faith. We know people who do not rely on feelings or evaluations of others, but want to be shown the numbers before they will believe. "Just give me the facts," the doubting Thomases of today will say. "I want to see it before I believe it." Although we often show compassion for the individual who fears the known, we often show disdain for the skeptic. We allow the fearful ones to have time to ponder the risks and the insecurities of risk. We even prepare for the fear. We take a guide with us down the river to maneuver the rapids with us. We applaud the brave matador in the bullpen. But to the skeptic, we offer no sympathies. What if we understood skepticism as another form of fear? What if we offered the same kind of consolation to those who fear the known as well as those who fear the unknown? Jesus did. Jesus asserts that the ideal faith response is to believe without having to see. But for some of us, the road to belief runs first through skepticism and doubt, and we have to see before we can believe. But God can use all of us, whether we are able to believe without the sight or whether we need to see it first. And when our fear is gone, when we know that our faith is real, that Jesus Christ is alive today and forever, then we are empowered to do great things for him. Christ appeared in the disciples' midst, and his first words were, "Peace be with you." And then he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." The invitation to receive the Spirit came right after their marching orders, for it is impossible to do one without the other. It was Christ's Spirit breathed upon them that set them free from the safe and the stagnant upper room to go out and to start his ministry, to continue his ministry. And the church was born. Fellowship of believers, a community of faith was born. Those disciples witnessed. They healed. They preached. They did wonders in the name of the risen Lord. And the book of Acts tells us that the church increased in numbers and spirit daily. They knew the security and freedom of being under God's control. We gather today as followers of Jesus Christ who conquered death. Our Lord promises that where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is there. And his words to us are the same as to his first disciples. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Some say yes to that invitation daily to God's gracious word, and it shows in their words and their actions. Others said yes and meant it sometime in the past, but the fear or the love of this present world has gradually shut the door on the Spirit. And that also shows in their words and their behavior. And some of us have understood what it means to be used and be filled by the Spirit. But God's word is the same to all. "Receive the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses to the joy that is offered through Jesus Christ." "Receive the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses to the resurrection unto the ends of the earth." Which will each of us choose? The closed doors of the upper room, or hearts open to the gifts of the Spirit? Suffocating in our own defense, or drawing the breath of life from God? Will our lives be spent making disciples or making excuses? Greet the risen Christ with joy. Receive the peace that comes only from him, and go forward in the power of his Spirit to love and to serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, at times it is dangerous to follow you. Your first followers knew that all too well. We here in the United States have such wonderful privileges and rights that we don't tend to feel that danger so much, but we know that there are believers around this world that it is very dangerous to follow you. Lord, we pray for those who live in fear today. We pray that you will go to them and share your spirit with them and empower them, that they may unlock the locked doors. They may open their hearts and their minds to you. They may receive your spirit and then go out from their prisons, new people, to share your love and the good news of your life with others. Lord, touch our fears today. Offer us your peace and your spirit, that we may be changed people by having worshiped here today, by hearing your word. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Because He Lives, number 256 in the Blue Hymnal.